Welcome to the program, Getting Free by Making Amends. This program is copyrighted 2007 by Connie B. Shaw. Connie Shaw is a speaker, workshop facilitator, author, life coach, and media guest. She's helped thousands of people in 11 countries to drop their grudges and grievances and to summon the energy and clarity to move forward with their lives.
Thank you, Jim. And hello, everyone. Welcome to Getting Free by Making Amends. How would you like to access more energy and to unburden yourself of guilt and resentments through making amends that really stick? How many of you think that making amends would be easier if you had some guidelines and if you could say them aloud to an unbiased third party or even write a concise letter to the injured party? Good. There are many ways to ask for forgiveness and to forgive yourself, but when you know how to do it, the chances are you'll easily be able to adopt this powerful new skill set to dramatically improve your life and relationships. Now, first, let's consider why we make amends and reflect on the benefits of doing so to you and for others. Love has two sides, attachment and surrender. We become attached to everyone and everything we love. Eventually, though, in the course of our growth or relocating, aging, and death, we'll lose or let go of everything and everyone to which we've clung. That includes a relationship, a fantasy, an addiction, a comfort, a dependency, a liberty, or mobility. Making amends means facing reality. It usually means that we've wronged or misused ourselves or another person and wish to acknowledge that and to change our ways. You could say that we've come to want the blessing of release. The power of purging and releasing is very different from the process of internalizing sorrow and loss. Grief is clinging to what has been lost, whereas mourning is acceptance and surrender of the loss and leads to freedom. Letting go of our attachment to people and things which can't be retained includes relinquishing guilt, hatred, and resentment. Until we learn to forgive and to make regular, authentic, accountable amends, we can't deepen our capacity to give and receive love. We can't advance in life or in our relationships without creating more duplicity and complications. Our mistakes become more expensive in each succeeding cycle. And now, let's review the reasons for and the benefits of making amends. The main ones are 1. Patterns. To honestly and responsibly evaluate your patterns, which are thoughtless, ineffective, or destructive of the peace, health, financial sovereignty, happiness, or safety for yourself or others. 2. Strategies. To develop more age-appropriate strategies for contributing to relationships. 3. Release. To receive release of stress, shame, guilt, resentment, and anxiety. 4. Trust. To reestablish or rebuild trust. 5. Courage. To build courage, character, and self-esteem through willingness to admit that we're wrong and to change. 6. Accountability. To extend a sincere vow to yourself and the injured party. Very often, the phrase, "I'm sorry," means "don't make me change," or have to admit to myself that I've been engaging in negative or unacceptable attitudes, values, and behavior. 7. Owning it. See it, heal it, improve it, and move past it. And finally, 8. Reputation. Develop a reputation for honesty and trustworthiness. Actually, you might say that a more accurate title of the last paragraph would be Preparations for Making Amends, because by the time we actually make amends, we've already had an epiphany or shift which has caused inner change. Making amends is not about soothing your conscience, and it's not about asking for forgiveness. Some people may not want to forgive you or to accept your amends. That's not your concern. The key points are your own self-forgiveness and your resolve to change. If you can't love and accept yourself, you can't love and accept others. There's a saying that knowledge is power, yet knowledge is relative and keeps changing with new scientific discoveries. Truly, character is power. When we make sincere, accountable, believable amends to others, we're vowing to change. We realize that others have been hurt, betrayed, or inconvenienced by our selfishness, preoccupations, or disregard of their needs and comforts. It takes courage to look at our character defects, inappropriate patterns, and immature values. It takes heroism to say, for example, "I was wrong, and I'm sorry. Now I realize I was self-centered and thoughtless, but now I'm going to require more of myself and improve in this area. This is what I intend to do. Is there anything else you'd recommend?" Make your intention specific, reliable, accountable, and time-related. For example, in apologizing to someone for your habitual tardiness in meeting him for a date, you could outline your specific plan. You might say, "Jerry, instead of being 15 or 20 minutes late when we meet at the restaurant after work in the future, I'm going to leave 25 minutes earlier than usual to allow for heavy traffic. Furthermore, I'll bring a book to read in case I arrive early." If you've abused another person's trust by, say, not repaying a loan on time, you could say, "Now that I've repaid the loan, even though it was late, I'll not be asking you for money again. I realize that I need to stop borrowing money to keep my spending within my means and that I need to live on a budget. I've brought you a small gift to make amends. Your regard means a lot to me." Speaking of loans, recently I saw a funny bumper sticker which said, "Beware of loaning your brother money lest it give him amnesia." There's another topic that we need to cover now, which is that of helping less aware people to make amends to you and to help them to develop a plan to change. The types of people who would fit into this category are loved ones with whom you would like to maintain a relationship, such as spouses or partners, children, siblings, parents, friends, or colleagues. The key factors are that you value the relationship, you're bound to the person in some way, and it's desirable or necessary that you interact periodically. An example of this would be a story told to me by my friend Mary, who told me how she was able to get her brother Michael to change a thoughtless habit which had caused her injury. When Michael, who was a reclusive 44-year-old bachelor, came to visit Mary, he habitually left the toilet seat up. Mary, who was 54 and who lived alone, had hurt her back twice on the porcelain rim when she'd fallen in due to not realizing in time that the seat was up. She valued Michael, but had reminded Michael countless times to no effect, and since he had forgotten his promise to change at least 7 times, Mary was fuming and feeling hurt and discounted by the time of his next visit. After cooling off a bit, she decided to sit down with Michael and to deliver a calm I message, as opposed to a you message, coupled with a question. Instead of saying how thoughtless and inconsiderate Michael was, Mary calmly stated how she felt and how it affected her. She said without rancor, "Michael, when you repeatedly leave the seat up, I feel nervous and stressed because I have to remember to do something which is unnatural to me since I live alone. Now, I know that you've developed strategies all through your life to train yourself to remember certain things, such as paying your taxes, rotating your tires, or making eye exam appointments. If you're really serious when you say you value me and our relationship, then I'll take you at your word. But words and behaviors must match if they're to be worth anything. I'm wondering if you're really willing to train yourself to put the seat down, and what strategies you've used successfully before that could work. What's your strategy for change?" Michael blushed, and said that he supposed he could tape yellow sticky notes on his bathroom wall at home until he had routinely mastered the new habit of putting the toilet seat lid and top down. Then he started on a poor me story about how distracted he'd been lately. Mary calmly told him that her experience of him was that he usually responded to any criticism with a justification or rationalization. She wasn't interested in excuses, but she was looking for a near-term, specific change. Michael said, "Got it. I'll do it." It took him about a week to ingrain the new habit in his daily routine. For Mary, the relentlessly cheerful insistence on a real behavior difference, coupled with a request for a strategy commitment, made the difference. She also told me that she decided to meet her brother in a public place in the future, such as the library, the park, or a restaurant. She simply wasn't willing to have him come over and visit at her house, although she hadn't mentioned that to him. She believes that he felt her resolve at a deeper level and knew she meant business. The lesson there is to know your options and to be prepared to act on them. As a result of his willingness to make change and to follow through, she didn't have to follow through with her backup plan of meeting him somewhere else besides her own home. To review, I've created a memory device to help make your amends easier and more effective. Write the word amends on the left margin of a sheet of paper vertically. A-M-E-N-D-S. Beside the A, write admission of error and accountability. M stands for making it right. E is for erasing shame, guilt, and grievances. N is for not repeating the same mistakes. D stands for determination to change. S is for a sincere tone and a strategy for change. Now we have amends, admission of error and accountability, making it right, erasing guilt and grievance, not repeating, determination, sincere strategy. But you might ask, what if I need to make amends to someone who's moved away or even died? Then what do I do? Oh, that's no problem. You can write them a letter and read it aloud to a trusted friend, a life coach, therapist, or a 12-step sponsor. It's important to write it out and to speak it aloud to get closure on the issue and also as practice for making amends to those who are available in person or phone. It's important for you to be specific about your mistakes and to outline the ways you intend to change, and by what date and how frequently. A famous author used to say that sorrow and loss are an inevitable part of every life, but we needn't become hardened and cynical. Our job is to keep our hearts open to giving and receiving love. We can become better or bitter. Choose better. Once you develop a momentum of making amends, you'll have a new skill set with which to assist others to do the same, if they're interested. Remember, when availing others of your new skills and ideas, only work with response. If people don't respond to your offerings of help or insight, they're not ready. Ask your higher self to bring you people whom you can serve. Then make it a habit to tell the truth faster to yourself and others. Finally, as you raise your vibration and develop more integrity, you might come to the conclusion that not everyone is mentally healthy enough to have a front row seat in your life. To make lasting change by reinforcing the 15 or so new skills and concepts in this podcast, you may download the free article and study it carefully. Be alert for chances to practice the skills with others until they're an automatic aspect of your character and integrity, which are priceless. I hope you've enjoyed listening to Getting Free by Making Amends and that you've learned a number of new techniques that you can immediately put into practice to make your life more productive and satisfying.